Bonjour, and welcome to the Amateur Detective Club. This club is exactly how it sounds. A bunch of amateurs talking about their favorite mysteries. So if you encounter a real mystery or a murder, contact the proper authorities. Do not come to us. We do not know what we are doing. But enjoy the program. Allons-y. Let us begin.
I now call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to order. My name is Tristan Miller, the Saucy Sleuth.
I'm Melissa Maley, the Spy.
I'm Tyler Riley, Cop and a Half.
Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/ADCpod and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs.
Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Just go to audibletrial.com/ADCpod.
No recommendations today because as the Griffins, we are not literate.
But you could be if you go to audibletrial.com/ADCpod.
Yeah. You too can.
Could you? Because it's an audiobook.
Yeah.
It helps.
I was about to say, okay, which one of you is going to bring that up? And as someone who has dyslexia, I can't even spell audiobook. But as someone, I appreciate it very much. Audible
you
has
can
been very kind to me.
Read along if you want.
That is true.
Could help.
That's
it can
so,
help
so
you read.
Much work.
I mean, I didn't mean you. I meant like the general you.
One.
You know, one could.
One might read one along might. With a book.
That's right.
I'm glad, Tyler, you and I got that out of the way.
Yeah. Because
you better believe, though, I spent 4 years of high school going, well, I think if Seth MacFarlane gets sick, they'll call me up.
I didn't know you could do that. And I don't know if you were looking at my face while you were.
White as a sheet.
I was delighted. That's
oh,
very
really?
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
An ex-girlfriend of mine, I was like upset about something I was kvetching. And I said, you know what really grinds my gears? And she went, nope. And she was like, I am bone dry right now.
I mean, I didn't say that I was aroused. I just said that that was pretty cool.
Nor should you. But yeah.
It's not like the opposite, but sure.
But she actually said, looked me square in the eye, she went, no. It was very.
Got funny. It. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I completely understand. And that kind of leads into the opening discussion. I mean, I have other things I want to talk about with you, but...
What could you possibly want to talk about? Because we've already been talking for 2 hours.
You know what? Here's both just for us, but also Tyler and I were discussing it off mic. Little bit of intimacy here. We're letting you into our personal lives.
Yeah, we never do that.
Yeah. What... Our experience growing up was we were watching Family Guy on the reg. Like, every night, I would watch at least 2 episodes. Melissa, what's your experience with?
When they came out, I watched the first few seasons. I can't remember how many at this point, because there have been so many. It's hard to recall exactly when I dropped off. But there was a certain point where it started becoming less appealing to me, but I watched at least the first 4, 5 maybe seasons, maybe even more, and have had like the DVD sets and everything, like really was into it, very very into it. Yeah, I thought it was very funny and clever.
And you don't remember like when you stopped exactly?
I think it changed networks or something.
It went to PBS.
And that was about when. Because there was a point when it started feeling like it was being sensational for the sake of being sensational, as opposed to having something funny and witty to say.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, like, I watched it when it started. Mm-hmm. And so this was many, many years ago. And I think I'm going to be talking a lot about my perspective changing as well. So, but yeah. Yeah, I don't recall which season it was, but it was, there was like a significant change in the way the show was presented, and it did start, it started feeling a little, you know, out of touch for me, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I stopped watching it because I stopped having cable. That was really the reason. For 2 or 3 years from, like, I guess it must have been, like, I must have been about since 2011 to 2013 there. I didn't have internet in my apartment, so we mostly relied on the library's DVDs, and I still owe the Brooklyn Public Library, like, probably $80. Not my fault. My sibling would check things out and then forget about them or not want to go to the library. And I'm like, you can't not do that. It's my library. Get your own then.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say anymore. This is my card. Go ahead with your own card. Leave me alone.
That's fair. But I feel like at this point, you need to not go check anything out from Brooklyn Public Library, but also they're probably not going to come after you.
They're not going to come after me, and I also live in Queens now, so...
Right. So it would be very inconvenient for you.
Sticking it to the man.
Yeah.
There you go. The library.
So I have the other discussion prompt. I realize we're doing icebreakers. Have you noticed that? It's just literally like...
Do you remember the game Icebreakers?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember the gum icebreakers?
Yeah.
Super minty.
Oh, okay. Yes. Because they were also mints as well as gum.
Yeah, so tasty. Yeah. How messed up is gum? Because you chew it, but you don't eat it.
Speak for yourself.
So that's why you're blocked up. So it stays in your intestines for a very long time.
It does.
The bowels. So would you, given the opportunity... And this is, again, from Threedom, because they have this conversation. Go to the moon. Would you go to space?
Why?
Given the opportunity, would you go to space?
Just like for funsies? Just...
Yeah, do you want to go to the moon?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Good, good icebreaker, then, with a one syllable answer.
really sparks a conversation. Like,
and why?
Yeah, why would you? And tell me more about... No.
No, I would not like that. No, I mean, just like, for me, like, just thinking about it, no. Like, I don't like flying as it is. Like, I can't imagine being in a spaceship is going to make me feel any better about being in a metal object that I can't control myself. I'm not going to... It would only increase my anxiety of, like, something else going wrong. Because there's so much time for something to go wrong.
Like, you know, 10 seconds. There's that countdown.
I actually, when I was a kid, when I was, like, a young child, I wanted to be an astronomer. Because
I hardly know her.
I was fascinated by space, but I had... that fear of, like, oh gosh, so many things could go wrong. I think I read too much about black holes when I was a child and was constantly afraid of, like, disappearing into a black hole. But the more I watched Star Trek, the more I'm like, yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was very specifically I wanted to be an astronomer and not an astronaut when I was 7 years old. But yeah, now I'm like, yeah, why not? Let's do it. Let's go to the moon. I've lived long enough.
Yeah. Oh my God. Can I tell you, that is my exact attitude as well. Like, as a child, I was like, I was really into space. And I was like, ooh, it would be so fun to be an astronaut. And my dad was like, well, what if, you know, you die? And then, because he is terrified of the concept of space.
Sure.
Of, like, floating out there forever. And I'm like,
it's very scary.
And then I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And then I thought about it when this was, I was like, absolutely. Like, if the other thing is, like, and this is a hot take, vis-a-vis death.
Uh-huh.
You're dead. Who cares?
Well, you're not like, gonna. Yeah.
I'm don't have to deal with any of that. Like, I'm already gone.
Yeah, the fear of death is much more upsetting than for the person than actually being dead, I would imagine.
So when Melissa and I take our trip to the moon, we'll have to leave you behind, Tyler. But we can Skype. I would want to go to the space station, I think. I would want to, like, hang out in space if I was going to go.
Hmm.
It's like going to Boca. You know, you have to go for at least 2 weeks. Otherwise, what's the point?
Not that I think that I've lived long enough in general, but if I'm going to go early, I might as well do it, like, in space. You know? Also, like, yeah, if something goes wrong when you're taking a trip to space, at least that was a pretty legit way to go.
So cool.
Well, depending on when you go.
Like re-entry, it's like, oh, wah, wah.
No, like, in 50 years, if space travel is, like, kind of like Norm. Plane travel, mm-hmm. then, like, no, it's not going to be as interesting
That's
as you
true.
Might think.
Right now, it would be very interesting.
Yes.
If I were to die and I got to, I'm not going to have a gravestone, take up so much space, but like, if there was a memorial of me somewhere, she died in space. That's pretty cool. That's a good story.
I'll add a QR code to your
Yeah, whatever little tiny memorial that doesn't take up very much space or disturb the environment happens, that'd be great. Yeah. Why not?
So what I'm hearing is you want a papier-mâché sculpture all made from non-recycled paper. Not newspaper. But it's just papier-mâché of a bunch of iPads. Because we don't have print journalism anymore. Oh, man. This is worse than when I was trying to make a papier-mâché out of iPads. PETA.
I would go if I had to go, though. Like, okay. If they discovered that Earth was no longer inhabitable, like, Earth would not be the hill that I died on.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep.
Mm.
Like, I'd go for survival.
Yeah.
Or chance of survival.
I would Starfleet if that became a thing.
Would I go down with the Oath? I might choose to stay. I might be like, well, from this earth I was born, and this is where I will die, covered in smog and soot. And then it is my genome that gets absorbed into the earth and saves it, because I'm special.
I'll remember you fondly.
Yeah. I really like that we've come to... Tristan would go, but for fun, not for survival. And
no.
Tyler is like opposite.
No.
Yeah.
I would go to space to survive. I'm just joshing. But
okay, well, good.
I would like I at this point like I because and we'll get, you know, we watching this old, I say old show, it's like 10 years old. This episode is 10 years old.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But I was watching The Big Bang Theory, and at one point don't at me. Howard goes to space. Howard Wolowitz goes
yes.
to space. And he's like freaking out. Like he's like, as the launch is going, I'm like, just take a Klonopin. Like, come on. Just smoke some dope and chill out. Like, and that's how I feel about space now. It's like, I would just be like moderately fine the whole time. You know, my biggest concern would probably be like getting coffee. I'm truly Janeway. I'm just like, we're running out of coffee. This is a concern.
That's fair.
If the space station blew up while I was on it, that's so dope. That's like the Death Star. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So we open on Spooner Street, right? And Peter has just picked up the mail.
Yes.
And Peter says, there's mail, and then there's something for a World War II man. Which is a very fun joke.
Yeah.
This episode starts out very fun and light and like silly, which I appreciate.
And can I say the jokes that I always like the most in Family Guy are the ones that come out of pretty much nowhere and are kind of like weird little niche, like cute jokes. Mm-hmm. Like the World War II vet getting a letter from his sweetheart.
Yeah.
What?
It's very funny. It's very weird. Once again, anything that comes, most of the things that come out of Adam West's mouth, phenomenal. Whereas,
yes.
I think we can all agree that the neighbor Herbert has aged like milk, that character.
Yeah.
I should go away for a long time.
Yeah, you should. Forever,
should
in fact.
Put in the ground.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
But. Yeah. No, but Mayor Adam West, usually quite on point. R.I.P. Adam West.
Yeah.
Honestly.
He and Carrie Fisher were the best parts of the show.
Yeah.
My God, that's right.
So many. How they got the people they got for this show.
Money. Lots and lots of money. So they received a mysterious letter, and a banquet is going to be held in Peter's honor at some such manor.
Yeah.
And he's like, friggin' sweet. And here's another part of this episode that I enjoy very much.
Uh-huh.
I love when they make sure, they remind you that Brian is a dog. Because he's walking around drinking martinis, yada, yada, yada. And then there's a moment of like, Brian's like, huh, I don't want to go. And he's like, do you want us to put you in the crate? And he's like, no, it's not. No, please. And
yes.
I found that very amusing.
There's a moment later where Stewie is telling him something and he dismisses him. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Do you prefer it when I engage in conversations with you about wet tennis balls?
Yeah.
And
very funny.
It's great. Yeah, that's my favorite. When Brian acts like a dog out of nowhere, it's very fun.
Yeah. Like there's a...
Oh, gosh. I feel like I watched too much Family Guy around this episode.
Yeah, I did
I'm
too.
Now, like,
it's all over the place.
Was
it's
that
okay.
from this episode or was that...
I'll say this. There's a great... Speaking of Brian being a dog, isn't it crazy that he talks? him being a dog. There's some episode where they're in the back of a van... Uh-huh. And Brian can't get a foothold, and he's talking, and he's like, it's the funniest thing. It's the dumbest joke.
But, like, it's so, yeah.
Anyways. Yeah.
Also, this episode, while we're on people who were in it and the credits.
Oh, right. Crime.
This episode was written by Cherry Sheva Prava Dumrong. I hope I said that right. I looked at a pronunciation guide. Yes, who wrote a lot of Family Guy episodes and really does quite a good job with this.
And may I say, probably consistently my favorite ones. She's a very fine writer and she's become an executive producer and is like, I think basically a pseudo showrunner in as much as like, there's... I fell into a pit of watching Family Guy after he did this. You know, I fell off the wagon.
Sure.
So there's a later episode where Peter shoots the TV because the Orville is on. And he goes, I hate that show. It's like, why? It's because it makes Seth Farland unable to do his work here at Family Guy. And I feel like Seth gets a lot of the heat for what they do when he has a full writer's room, but it's also like he is the front-facing person and should receive that heat. And he's also the creator of the show. So
it's like, yeah, you made it yourself. Yeah. That like you made yourself the face of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun self-burn for sure. Okay, so yes, we have a 3-minute sequence driving to this manor,
which I love.
It was great. It was beautiful. Driving down the countryside.
And this is also, I believe, the first episode that they did in high definition.
Ooh.
If I'm not mistaken. So like this was like a very clear departure from like the style of season 8 as far as like how things were drawn and
oh, wow.
That's why you can see Lois's makeup.
Shut up.
I'll say this. It's in like a different aspect ratio as well, which is quite fun, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's also a, I want to talk briefly. Could you please tell me who does the music for this episode, Melissa? Because you have the wiki up.
I'm looking it up.
because it's phenomenal. The rendition that is a parody of the Murder, She Wrote theme along with the Family Guy theme.
Yeah. This episode was nominated for an Emmy because of the music.
Great. Yeah. It's really wonderful.
It was really good.
The music is consistently so good in this episode specifically. And also kind of in general, I've been like weirdly paying attention to the, like even the stings. I'm like, oh.
Music by Walter Murphy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good job, Walt.
Yeah.
Yeah, super good.
And before we move on, I just, because I love her so much, Jennifer Tilly is back as Bonnie in this
yes.
episode. I love Jennifer Tilly so much.
So good. Yes. We have a lot of the heavy hitters in this episode.
Also
we really,
James Woods.
Yeah.
Which we all will.
Yeah. We acknowledge that he is present.
We acknowledge that he is present, and luckily, spoiler alert, he dies, which is very cathartic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of dead people who are on Family Guy, Rush Limbaugh is the next episode in this season. To put it in context, there, Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
RIP, rest in pain to Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah. I think that I had seen this episode before. I'm pretty sure I had. Even though I fell off some Family Guy at some point. I think I saw this, and I think I saw the Rush Limbaugh episode as well. So,
Yeah, because I was going to say earlier when we were talking about how we viewed Family Guy, this was the episode that brought me back into watching it. Because
yeah.
I made a clear, conscious decision to stop watching Family Guy. I don't remember exactly which episode. I know it was a milestone episode where Brian and Stewie are locked in a bank vault.
Oh, yeah, yo. With
and
the gun.
That,
yes.
That episode, I was like, and I'm done.
I remember that one. That one was, yep, I had bad feelings about that episode, too.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, because there was barely any writing. It's just vomit and poop gags.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep.
For, like, 20 minutes.
That's interesting, because all I remember is, like, he has a gun just in case. That's the only thing I remember about that episode. And that
it's
speaks to how
all
it's
vomit. It's all vomit the entire episode, and it's so off-putting.
I dislike the vomiting.
But back to the episode, we have now arrived at the mansion. We
yeah.
haven't even gotten there yet.
Yeah,
we've arrived at the mansion.
It turns out that everyone's got a letter. The whole town's there, pretty
yeah,
much.
Sorry, I brought this up because I wanted the full list.
Oh, please.
So upon their arrival,
Joe's the first one to show up, right?
Yeah.
In whatever order, yes.
Yeah. Joe Swanson's there. Bonnie's there.
So we have
Muriel and
Mort. Glenn Quagmire and Stephanie, no last name, which we'll address in a minute.
Stephanie is a character I don't believe we had ever met before.
Once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was the same bit of Glenn being ashamed that he likes to have sex with a fat woman. And that's the whole bit.
It is the whole bit.
And who is drawn to, like, not even be that big?
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, we will get into it. There's also
Jillian.
What's the pirate?
Seamus, and he has yes. the best joke because he rows in and he's, you know, he's missing arms and legs and yeah. he has paddles for arms.
Yeah, yeah, it's like he has a modular system.
Oh, so good.
So he's rowing with the oars, but they're attached to his arms. And then he removes the oars from his arms and puts his normal wooden arms on, which is funny.
What a beautiful way to adapt. And there's also Tom Tucker and Diane Simmons of News Channel 4, is it?
I believe so.
Sure. I have no problems with that.
I hate
four
that
sounds
I
like an okay number.
I hate that I know all of these people.
No, it's understandable. I mean, no, they're recurring characters. Yes.
And we also just watched the episode, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and then we have Jillian, played by Drew Barrymore, who is Brian's ex-girlfriend. And
we have Derek, her now
husband.
Fiance or husband?
Husband. I mean, according to Wikipedia, it says husband, so I believe
okay.
it. You know, Wikipedia is never wrong. yes. And who else do we have?
That's
it.
Oh, no, the store clerk.
Oh, yeah. H. John Benjamin. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the movie guy. He's here. And along with Mayor Adam West.
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, and, oh, gosh, unfortunately, Consuela.
Is there. But yeah. She works for the person that's called them all together, James Woods.
We get introduced to Priscilla as well, yes. Who is James Woods' new beau.
Yes, and James Woods has called all of these people together because he has become a born-again Christian, and he's trying to make amends with all these people that he's wrong. Also, Herbert is here, unfortunately.
Oh, is he here?
Oh, yes, he is. He goes off with Chris. Because there's that terrible gag where he's like, you're going to find some things, burn my house down.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, criminy.
Ew. Right. Okay.
So who hurt whatever writer came up with that character?
I don't want to know.
I don't
like,
either.
I hope they find whatever.
Peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peace. And I hope they are getting the mental health help that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. So they sit around a grand table and have dinner as James Woods explains all of the born-again Christian making amends situation to them. And he gets up at some point and goes into another room.
Yeah, he and Priscilla leave the room. I don't remember the context.
I believe it has to do with the food.
Sure.
That makes sense.
And Stephanie starts saying, well, you know, what's his astrological sign? Maybe I can figure out what's going on with him. Because if he was an Aquarius, this would make all the sense. Mm-hmm. And then, but I'll sit in his chair. So let me sit in his chair. Aura. Get a feeling of what he's feeling from sitting in this chair. And she goes and does that, and a champagne cork is popped, and it looks like it's heading straight for her. But Derek, I think, catches it.
Yeah, Derek catches it.
Before it hits her. And then we see her chest bloodied. Mm-hmm. And she says, did the cork hit me? As she collapses on the table, dead.
Dead.
From a gunshot wound that came from what we can only assume is a silencer.
To choruses of shock and awe, and then a yes from Glenn.
Yeah. And then I can't help that this would be sadder if she wasn't heavy from a Stewie. Do you want to get into this now that
let's do it. So the fat shaming in this episode sucks.
It does.
And it's really a low point of the episode.
Yeah,
I never found it funny either.
No.
I think it's, again, it kind of also comes from this thing. It's an unfortunate place of truth where all of these people would feel this way about this person. And yes. That to me is the worst thing about it. And you really, there's other episodes that actually weirdly address this of like how Peter is clearly overweight. There's a huge double standards, and they do make jokes about it, and they're aware of it. It's this, like, they're trying to have their cake and eat it, too.
Yeah.
Which I think is moderately deplorable.
There's the idea of, if we're aware that this joke is bad, as the people creating this show producing this show, we know that this joke is bad. We can make fun of the joke by making the joke, mm-hmm. which is debatable about whether or not it works. And what my theory presupposes is maybe it doesn't work.
In wrestling, this would be they worked themselves into a shoot, which is that they have made it so that the structure of the show only works if they're terrible.
Yes.
So, like, if there's growth from, like, there can't be too much growth or else the show doesn't work. If they learn too much how to mm-hmm. behave properly, that definitely goes against the structure that they built.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just because you can get away with it, something doesn't make you, you know, necessarily great. it's so tricky when you are like, I was thinking about this specifically regarding like, I think misogyny or homophobia or like even saying racial slurs, there's this interesting thing where if you write that into a script and then have another character say, hey, that's not okay, you get to have your cake and eat it too, which sucks.
Yeah.
And Family Guy does a lot of that regarding like pushing the envelope of like, hey, you can't say that sometimes. Actually, no, which they don't, because they're in Rhode Island. The assumption is that everyone is terrible.
Yeah. But like, it's so weird how like the opponents of cancel culture are like, oh, everyone's so sensitive. And it's like how did a society that grew up on like Family Guy and South Park and blah 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 like be so sensitive? And I was like, because like while they're saying these terrible things, at least there's also someone acknowledging that it's wrong that someone has said. You know, whatever the previous statement.
So Stephanie has been shot. She has been moited. Yes. James Woods rushes in. Everyone's like, James Woods, how could you kill Stephanie? He's like, I didn't. Why would I risk hell? I just got back on the Jesus bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And then there's a power outage. And then James Woods has been stabbed to death.
And just a quick note, the Jesus bandwagon is big enough for all of us.
That's right.
It just keeps growing. And then they're like, okay, so it couldn't have been James Woods. So we have to figure this out. And Joe Swanson takes charge because he's a police officer. And I thought that was a nice touch, because the temptation would be immediately to have like Peter Griffin, the main character of the titular Family Guy.
Made myself laugh.
And take truly, over the investigation. Yeah. And truly, we would have no real episode if Peter was to take control of this conversation, of the investigation.
Also, an important notice, once James Woods gets stabbed, they all try to leave, and then the bridge goes out, and it's raining, and there's power outages, right? And they can't get out because the bridge is out, and it's raining, it's all very, ooh, ah.
Yes, yes, there's a very dramatic, they're all trying to drive, and... the Griffin's car almost goes off a cliff at one point, and Peter has to get back in the back of the car, and Lois has to save them, blah 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 blah.
There is a funny joke, which is like, it's tipping and Lois goes, put it in reverse. It's like, really? Is that I thought I was just gonna keep it here.
Yeah.
But then they crash into Mort
Goldman.
Thank you.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Goldman Sachs.
Yeah. Goldman, and we get our first anti-Semitic joke of him pretending he has a broken neck.
First of many. But yeah, everyone then, of course, like gathers back inside because there's nowhere else to go and it's raining.
And Priscilla has fainted.
Yes.
She's out.
This
cold.
Is a very Clue setup as well.
Yes.
Like, this is extremely reminiscent of Clue, especially the letters that they all get, a dinner in your honor kind of deal.
Oh, yeah. Like, this borrows from very, like, a great many properties throughout the episode.
Which I find very fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. It's smart in that way, certainly. Very clever.
They're all wigging out because James Woods is dead, and they're like, there's a murderer among us, and Peter, Mayor Adam West says something. And Peter shakes him, and he throws him back into a credenza or something, and a plate falls, and there's a gun behind it with a silencer.
Yes, so there was a silencer set up to go off.
With a timer, yeah.
With a timer that was clearly meant for James Woods. So Stephanie was never the target, it was always James Woods. So who wanted a motive to kill James Woods?
About a joke at the beginning with Jillian where she's like, okay, so he's made of wood? No, honey.
Oh.
Like, yeah. And she like can't wrap her head around it. It's very funny and very cute.
Yeah.
So
but we're talking about motives.
Yes. Everyone points fingers and.
Yeah. Muriel, we discover, we'll get to her last.
Sure.
Of the motives.
Okay.
What?
Nothing. I was just recalibrating. I was thinking about Muriel, and then now I'm thinking about ponies. Okay. Oh, okay. Because the reason I'm thinking about ponies is there's a joke where Brian is like, do you think Jillian, the impressions. I'm so sorry. Do you think Jillian thinks about me? I don't know. Are you the color blue or a pony?
Yeah.
And there's a thought bubble. And I'm like, that's what I want. From my life.
It's cute. Yeah.
Jillian is thinking of a blue pony. And that's like the bit. And it is funny.
I like a blue pony.
But yeah. We discover Tom Tucker, apparently.
Of Channel 4 News.
Yeah. You want to take this? Tom Tucker had apparently wanted to audition for the lead in Nightmare on Elm Street, and James Woods convinced him not to. And now everyone's talking about Robert Englund. He is the toast of Hollywood. And it could have been Tom Tucker.
That's funny.
So he's one, and Muriel should be last. Does anybody want to talk about it?
Herbert, he changes Cialis to methamphetamines. There's a cutaway, and it's gross. Peter, the whole Griffin family, obviously, he's been terrorizing their family for years. Mm-hmm. What was... Seamus's was really funny.
Seamus, it was funny because Seamus says that alludes to James Woods is the reason why he is what he is today.
Yes.
And says that he was just like a carved wooden,
wooden
man. But because James Woods didn't believe enough, only his head transformed.
Like Pinocchio. I want to correct an error. It's Channel 5 News. My bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was
sure.
Like, it doesn't sound
on Fox
right.
Originally. Yeah.
Then,
but like it wasn't the actual reason. He then is like, no, that's not true. Yeah. But I forget what the real story was because
mm-hmm.
him not wishing hard enough was so funny to me that that's
yeah. I mean, that's
what
very
is,
funny.
Adam West has something weird too.
Oh sure.
Oh, his Twitter handle was taken by James Woods.
Now I have to be Adam_West.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh, it's so funny.
And this is the frustration about this show, because sometimes it's very good.
Yeah.
When it hits, it hits. But when it doesn't, it does.
It
not.
Misses. It's like Battleship with these guys.
Yeah.
The movie?
In some ways, yes. Oh, my goodness.
But yeah. James Woods is terrible, and everyone has a reason to hate him. So.
Yeah, and yeah. But what about in the show?
Oh,
and this is where they split off, right?
Yeah.
And Diane and Tom Tucker obviously go together.
Peter and Lois.
Brian
and Stewie get out of being teamed with Meg.
The way they treat Meg. So here's my thing about Meg and Griffin. She looks exactly like Lois, but with brown hair. And she's Lois is constantly told that she's very hot and it doesn't make sense that she's with Peter. And then Meg is constantly told that she's unattractive.
Well, she wears glasses, Tristan.
There's that. But there's also, not agreeing with that, but like I know that is like weirdly a thing in like our cultural lexicon. But there's all like throughout the series, she just has gross behavior as well. It's not drawn onto her, but like they have talked about her hygiene in particular.
Yeah.
So like on a level, like I do under it, if you're watching it for the first time with no context, it does not make a lick of sense. And it's still effed up even with like her like gross behavior, like the way that they treat this poor teenager.
Yeah, and I mean,
certainly
teenagers are terrible and are liable to make fun of, you know, literally anything that they can get their brains to process as unusual. Mm-hmm. So, like, glasses are enough sometimes for a mean high school kid to make fun of another person. But
Rachel Lee Cook looks better without them.
I mean, listen, if I took my glasses off, I would look like a whole different person.
They're,
I'm just hiding my hotness behind my glasses.
There was an episode of, it wasn't, I don't even think it was like a real episode. It was like a tag on to like a Scooby-Doo movie.
Where Velma.
And Johnny Bravo.
Yes.
Okay. So it's like a crossover episode, like in the style of the cartoon Johnny Bravo. And like there's a point where like Johnny Bravo and Velma run into each other and knock each other's glasses off. And Velma's like, oh no, I can't see without my glasses. And Johnny Bravo goes, and I can't be seen without my glasses.
Oh boy.
That's good. That's very good. Yes. So they're all searching and.
Yeah, that's how we got there.
Yeah. They avoid being with Meg because they say, we're going to talk about getting your Christmas gift, a birthday gift, Peter. And he's like, ooh, never mind. Now I'm excited about that.
And she gets stuck with
J.H. John Benjamin, whose name I do not know.
Yeah.
Carl.
Who's the three person team?
Adam West.
Consuela.
And
Seamus?
Seamus. Yeah. He's like, oh, that could be fun. And then there's a very funny moment where Adam West pulls out at Joe and he goes, you guys like to party? And it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, you bunch of squares. Squaresville, I tell you. Which I'm going to start using Squaresville.
Great.
Also, please forgive me that I just instinctively did the Consuela.
Consuela.
Oh,
such a problematic character.
Yeah.
She really is, except for another terrible Family Guy storyline, like the really only Latinx representation. And I know there's a newer, more acceptable term for the Latinx community, but like I
do not know I am not educated on the distinction.
Yeah, I just don't know how to pronounce it appropriately yet, and that is on a to-do list.
Yeah.
So apologies for now until I get that term figured out.
Yeah.
Consuela is the only representation of that community consistently on the show.
Yeah.
And she plays a maid. It's very stereotypical.
Played by a white person.
Yeah.
There's
A white man. Who also plays Cleveland.
Yeah. Which, when Problem with Apu came out, he was like, oh, I'll stop voicing Cleveland. And the general consensus was, we don't care about the character enough for you to make this change. Because he had his own show and no one watched it.
Except for me, because I love me some Sanaa Lathan, who played the wife.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay. So, they've all split up.
Yes. And at one point, Joe gets knocked out, and Peter does take over the investigation for a while.
Oh, can I tell you, this is why this show is, sorry to, I get excited. This is why this particular episode is written very well, in my opinion, because he finds a suit of armor and he goes, hey, everybody, look, I'm a robot from the future. And I'm like, this is so stupid. Then he falls out and he knocks out Joe. And I was like, oh, it was for that reason. And everything has a payoff, whereas normally that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, it's just a bit and then we move on and pretend like it never happened.
Right. Yep. No, they're very conscious about that. They're very good about resolving things.
Thank you, Cherry.
Yes. Yeah. Good structure. Good writing structure. And we find a notebook of James's past misdeeds. Because there's a secret room. There's actually two secret rooms, and one of them is like nothing, which is fun. But yeah, they go into this big secret room and there's a notebook filled with like, I've done all these bad things that I need to atone for. And we find out Muriel's motive.
Yes, Muriel has been blackmailed into giving him prescription drugs.
From Goldman's pharmacy.
Mm-hmm. And Mort didn't know and he's freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's also disappeared at this point as well. Like, nobody knows where she is.
Yes.
Mad sus, as the kids say.
As the kids say.
Mm-hmm. I do be saying that.
Yeah. Can I tell you? I want to stop here for a second.
Sure.
I don't want to talk to you anymore. I want to talk about a bit that I really, I personally loved. I felt seen by this bit, which is Brian and Stewie are walking down the hall and they're guessing theme songs of old shows. And that's a car game that we played as a kid. And I loved that moment so much. And I wanted to play it with you if we feel like we have the time.
I'm so glad that you had that moment. Just kidding. I also enjoyed it. And that is a game that we played as well. I just needed the dunk.
Do you need some aloe, Tristan?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Take care of that
burn. Because he slapped my ass too hard in the experiment we've been doing.
You didn't say the safe word.
Which was dynasty.
Oh, oh,
oh. Did you want to play the game?
Sure.
Ba-da-da, ba-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh,
Ba-da-ba-ba. This one's in the episode.
Dick Van Dyke.
Yes. Yeah. Dick Van Dyke. Okay. Now.
Also WandaVision.
Yes. Da 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 da. You know this. The title I can't say because it gives it away.
Well, you're humming the same three notes, and I know it's very important.
But it's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, that's not, like, if I don't get it from this.
It's about a dad and the amount of kids he has.
That American dad.
It's about a dad and the number of kids he has. He only has one kind of kid.
Two and a half men.
Close. You need another half to get my three sons.
My three sons.
Okay, yes, right.
That's a show?
Yeah.
Did you not watch TV Land?
Yes, I did. I don't know that show.
Familiar.
Huh?
That's familiar.
Oh, Bewitched.
Yes. It's a fun game. It is fun.
Yeah.
I knew Dynasty as soon as he said it. Because I have been on, and they do shout her out, the late Diane Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
May she rest in peace as well. That was the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right.
Nighttime soap opera. But it was like the first time you really saw like a rich black person on screen, and she was a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big deal.
And she was fierce.
Bum, bum, bottom. Bum, bum, ba, da, 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 bum, bum,
I know this one, but it's not.
Negroes and Sons. Sanford and Son.
Yeah, you big dummy. It's about monsters, but isn't Adam's Family.
Oh, is it The Munsters?
Yes. Okay. It's The Munsters.
I remember this show more than I remember the theme. I don't remember the credits at all.
It's sampled in a Fall Out Boy song, which is phenomenal.
Well, it can go back from Pete Whence It Came. And back to the show.
But Meg gets separated from Carl, falls down a shaft. And then Carl goes up to a stuffed bear because he gets scared by the stuffed bear in the lighting. And he's like, oh, hey, babies, I have the power of imagination. Oh, hey, bear. And he has a conversation, which is not a very fun, like, it's a racially insensitive joke. But the concept of him making up a conversation with a bear is very funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the setup's so good. And then the punchline sucks.
Yeah.
And then Lois and Peter are in the greenhouse. At some point, and she's like, how we've been married for so long, how come you still give me guy in an elevator talk? Because she starts talking about the rain, because it's really pouring out there. Yeah, and we need it. And she's like, what is wrong with you?
It's cute. It's funny.
This is way before, because they get interrupted by Joe and Bonnie, so Joe's still around. Anyway.
Yeah.
If anyone listens to this program, they know that time is a construct regarding our
particularly in the pandemic. Like, our episodes have just gotten weirder and longer.
And I'm here for it. We said in 2020, let's get weird.
We did. Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
I just think we have, like... we have enough material for two podcasts at this point.
Yeah.
One ADC and one where it's just three people in the room just talking.
100%. And I said in 2021, let's make it horny. And that was a decision on my end that I did not consult you two about.
I pivoted.
You've risen to the challenge.
Ooh. Oh. Yes.
So... then they find Muriel dead? Is that the next part?
Sure. I love that you transition into things with the crux of the point. Like,
we remember
you
the
just
big
dive
bits.
Right into the reveal. I know.
The jokes and who dies.
No, but it's very like... there's no mystery about it. It's just like, do we find this person dead next?
There's no lead up, which is also like, that's all I remember about Poirot as well. I just remember when it's funny and who dies. And like, that's all I care about. That and the cinema topography, apparently.
I mean, what else really is there? It's the most important parts.
Hey, Derek from Swan Princess.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Swan Princess. Yes, knife in the back, the same knife.
So it can't be her.
Used, yes. Supposedly used to kill James Woods.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, I dream of the day.
That's Lois who makes that distinction?
Quite possibly. Sounds about right.
Well, it couldn't be anyone else because no one else has any sense.
Fair.
Yeah. So now.
Yeah, they're monitoring people's wallets.
Ay, ay, ay.
So now the suspicion is off of Muriel because she is now dead. And
that's a dream.
There couldn't possibly be more than one killer.
That really does not get explored in this episode.
Not at all. I had not even thought of that.
Oh, yeah, no. Mm-mm, not even a little bit. Immediately when someone turns up dead, the suspicion is off of them. So that's what we're doing here. Which is fine. It simplifies things. So, 100%. People now suspect Priscilla, who has disappeared.
Yes.
In all of this ado, there is much ado.
And Joe is awake again, right?
Joe at some point does wake up. Yes.
But let's talk about Priscilla, I guess. Like, yeah, she is suspected because she's gone.
Yeah, she isn't, like, nobody knows her, supposedly, except for James at this point.
Yes.
In the meantime, Derek has his cell phone, and he has the idea to go up to a balcony to get cell signal. And he opens his flip phone and shows it to Peter, and there is a picture of it, of him, doing the thing where he stands in front of the Hollywood sign and he makes it look like he's holding it up because of perspective. And Peter sees it and he's like, is that you holding the Hollywood sign? And he's like, oh no, I mean, it's just a picture, like the angle of it. And he's like, you are now my God and I shall worship you. Do you want me to make a sacrifice for you? No, you don't really need to do that. Whatever you say.
Tristan, did you find this point funny?
It was the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And later on, they're arguing all about, like, who could have possibly done it. And all Peter is shouting about is that he actually was holding up the Hollywood sign.
Yeah.
There's a couple arguments in this, and I can't remember what one it is, where Brian brings up a point, and Glenn just is like, shut up, Brian. And I love, there's this ongoing thing where Glenn hates Brian.
Oh, because
he's insufferable, and he is. And I think it's appropriate that Brian is, like, voiced just by Seth's actual voice because he is the hypocrite of, like, being awful but also being a liberal.
Yeah.
I think that's the epitome of the problem with the show. But I thought it's just so funny because immediately Glenn isn't even arguing about the thing they're arguing about. He just starts yelling at Brian because he hates his guts.
Which, like, Brian is so insufferable, but I can't hate a dog still.
Same.
Like, I wrestle with that because, like, I still root for Brian, even though he's really is the worst.
He's literally a dog when it comes to
He's a dog, and I just like, oh, but he's a dog.
Isn't it crazy how he talks?
Honestly, that's how I feel.
Yeah. He's drinking martinis. What is that? So crazy.
Like, you little scamp. I just want to boop you.
Exactly.
There's an episode where he's on Bill Maher and Bill Maher rolls up a newspaper and shoes him away.
Which is funny. So they are all having arguments. And meanwhile, while Derek is going up to the roof. So we see Derek up on the roof or balcony or whatever the heck it is.
Click, click, and click.
He's looking for a cell signal. He's about to get it. And he turns around and he says, oh, it's you. You, the woman or man who has been murdering everyone.
So funny.
Yeah.
Just very funny. And then this unseen person goes up, smacks him on the head with a blunt object, and he tumbles right off that balcony. And it is grisly.
Youth.
Like, even the animation. I was eating at the time, and I was a little like,
It's an
like
HD,
that.
Baby.
Yeah.
It was so grisly, I called it Adams.
There it is.
Yeah. So his body is discovered, and they're like, what did he get hit with? And then at some point, they're back in the house, and they notice that James Woods' Emmys are on the shelf, but the Golden Globe is missing. So that must be it.
For what did he win that?
I'll find out.
Yes.
I mean, it's a Golden Globe. They give them out.
Yeah. So we have, it's true. So we have discovered the knife back in Muriel's back, but there were no fingerprints on it. Cause that was the thing. Everyone was looking for this knife because of the fingerprints. But when it was finally discovered, the killer had had time to wipe fingerprints off of it. So they couldn't figure that out. So where is this Golden Globe?
There's also a scene where they're all stuck together and they lift Joe up and Peter does the Hava Nagila song and Joe is apparently does not want to be Jewish.
Yes.
And Mort is like, we just learned something about our friendly neighborhood police officer. And I'm like,
yeah,
yes, you did. This is unfortunately an accurate representation of.
So, yeah.
Side note.
Yes.
How do we know that the Golden Globes are absolute trash? And I don't know why it took us so long. James Woods has 9 Golden Globe nominations.
Hysterical.
Won once in 1987 for a miniseries or motion picture made for television. The film or series was Promise. I don't know what that is.
That's the Golden Globe.
There you go.
He was nominated so much. Yet, Regina King's first nomination came for Beale Street? This is what we're doing?
Yeah. Ugh. Great. So he's dead. And yes, they have now determined that they cannot leave each other at all. No more splitting up. Got to keep the killer in sight. That's part of when... They get way too close to each other and do the lifting of Joe up the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're uncomfortably close and touching. So
not COVID approved.
No.
Oh no. The opposite. So they go to everyone's rooms as a group. And they go to Tom Tucker's room.
What? The joke tickled me so much. He has a poster of himself. And they're like, why do you carry a 8x5 poster of yourself? He's like, well, it makes me feel more comfortable knowing Big Tom is watching over.
And then he says something like, I didn't know my room was going to be searched.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, let's drop that.
Which is fair.
It is fair. So, yes, they're looking around. They're looking around and they find the bloodstained Golden Globe Award in Tom Tucker's room.
Under the bed.
For 1987's Promise.
And they, Peter has something dripping on his face, and he's like, oh, gosh darn it, I've got a nosebleed. That's not how he sounds.
I enjoyed that.
Not good, not a good, but yes. And whoever's looking at him says, that's not, you don't have a nosebleed. Yeah.
It's Joe.
And so from the vent up above is blood coming.
Peter boosts Joe up.
Joe removes the vent and the body falls.
Yeah. Okay. Her body falls into the room. Her
throat's been slashed.
Yeah.
And so everyone starts accusing Tom because of the Golden Globe's in his room. The body's in his room.
Mm-hmm.
And so
we should probably take a break, right?
Yeah, we should.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this program, this fine audio program. We're on the Scavengers Network. You can go to scavengersnetwork.com and browse the unmatched selections of audio programs. They got a lot of great content over there. They do live streams. They've been playing Pokemon, which is great. Big fan of Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all.
Yeah. And we also have merch. You can go to the link below. Hopefully it still works. Or teespring.com/themill. And you can find all sorts of great cups and mugs and stuff with things from the show. That's all I got. I'm tapped out.
No.
I've been drained.
We've
all
drained.
The comedy is gone.
Oh, no. That's such bad news for all your comedy fans.
Mm-hmm.
One
of them.
Tyler, for Tyler. So, yeah. You can find us if you wanna. You can. hopefully not in our. hopefully not in our homes, but on the internet where it's safe.
I don't know. I've been awfully lonely during this pandemic.
Well, you can find Tristan at his home. Leave me and Tyler alone.
Someone touch my butt.
Okay. I mean, we do have to do the study.
That's what I'm saying. It's for science.
It's for...
Yeah, pipe down before you get another spank.
But on the internet.
Oh, tush, tush. Enough of that.
Find us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ADC Pod. And give us a nice 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or your pod catcher of choice. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, our email address is amateurdetectiveclub@gmail.com.
Which is something I need to add to my phone so I know if anyone's emailed us.
Has anyone checked the email recently?
Oh, I have a hard enough time remembering that we have a Discord server.
Yeah. We...
Speaking of Discord,
thank you.
We also have a Patreon. You can subscribe for as little as $1 a month, and that dollar will get you bonus content and access to episodes early.
What are you doing? You made eye contact, man. Then you made a face.
Yes, I needed to verify that I'm saying correct things. No. I didn't pull the thing up.
No.
So I could be lying. So
no,
I
no, no,
I
no.
panicked.
Are we still doing that?
Not. I was just, you made eye contact. Like you were looking for me for something. This ad break is terrible. It's so weird.
But if you don't know by now.
Now you know.
You don't know by now.
What's the URL on that?
www.patreon.com/ADCpod.
Two fun facts. www stands for World Wide Web and .com stands for .commercial as opposed to .gov or .edu.
If you are listening to this on the day it comes out, March 29th, Monday, you probably still have time to go over to starcrossedthemusical.com. I think that's what the URL is, but it's the Starcrossed Musical. Brand new musical written by Kristen Penner and Lorelei McKenzie, and listen to the 45-minute version on Zoom. And it's at 7 p.m. Eastern time in the U.S., but you can watch it from anywhere. And it's free, and it's fun, and it is a way to see some theater while we're still not able to see live theater generally.
Mm-hmm. And I hear it's very gay. Which I'm a fan of when it comes to theater.
Oh, yes. Very gay. So much gay.
I'm also curious as to whether I'm in the show or not.
You might.
Because it's 45 minutes?
Well, because I told them I couldn't do this read, but I'm listed on the
page. So some of the footage that's being used, I believe, is from prior
recordings.
Recordings that okay. Tyler was also in. I believe that's the case.
So see, I everybody
would crack
but
up
me.
If they still use my Benvolio track for whoever's playing Benvolio.
And he's lip syncing.
Do you know Benvolio is being played by our now listener, Michael Reese? So,
oh, hi Michael.
Michael.
Hello. Yeah. I believe. No, it is. So.
Everybody but me in this thing.
Well, you don't like musicals.
It doesn't mean I don't want the attention. Back to the show. It seems today that all you see.
Too much. Now we gotta pay Seth MacFarlane.
We don't want to have to do that.
Oh no, he's at the door. Oh no.
God.
So everyone starts accusing Tom. It's the next day. He gets arrested because the storm lets out and they're repairing the bridge.
Yeah. So Peter wants to make sure that Lois has packed all of his Hot Wheels.
Wait, sorry. Which is real quick, this bridge repair. Which goes to show, if you are rich, people will just fix things so quickly for you.
We need more infrastructure in the government for the American people to be able to have bridge repair immediately.
That's right.
Very nice, Kamala Harris.
Thank you. Oh, don't say that, because then I'm doing an impression of someone I shouldn't be doing an impression of.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Yeah, I put that,
I don't want to
get on you. We can cut that.
Yeah.
Yes, they're all preparing to leave. Lois has packed up Peter's Hot Wheels, but he is worried he's missing his fire truck. And Lois goes into Diane Simmons' room because she wants to comfort her because her longtime coworker is clearly now a murderer. Yeah. And so she starts talking to her. And then she says, you know what? I realize that you're going to get to be a solo anchor on the news. And she says, yeah, it's true. I am excited about that part. My mom bought me a new shirt for the purpose. And Lois goes, wait, how did your mom know that you'd be? Has a light bulb appears above her head. Not literally.
Well, it is a cartoon, so it could.
Fair.
I wish that would happen.
So
then I would sell
Lois,
the light bulbs. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was going to stop the podcast.
Because like it took me a second. I was just like, what are you? Oh, okay.
I can't hear what you're saying.
I will be quiet now.
He was saying that he wished light bulbs appeared over your head in real life because he would then just take those light bulbs to then sell them.
Oh, sure.
I can have a bunch of ideas.
Yeah. What a great money-making scheme that would be.
I didn't mean to derail the podcast. I'm sorry.
So, yes, she tries to get out. Lois tries to get out of the room because she's now realized that Diane has been the murderer this whole time. And she says she needs to go find Peter's fire truck. And Diane says, no, I think that you're going to continue chatting with me. And then she lays out the entire thing. As it happened.
Yeah, she pulls a gun on her.
Yeah.
She pulls a gun on her. So
and at some point, Peter comes back to get the car keys so he can listen to his tapes.
Yeah.
I think it's very funny as a concept.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay, I have to signal him. So I'm going, he goes, come, don't put a gun in my back, Pete. And she's like, Peter, we've been married for 20 years. Please. Pick up that I'm acting strange. And then it cuts to his internal monologue. He's like, we've been married 14 years. Why is she calling me Pete? Why am I thinking that? So what I could be thinking, listening to my tapes.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
But Diane then reveals once Peter has gone to listen to his tapes, not picking up on the weird behavior, that that her whole story, her whole motive. So about a year ago, she was dating James Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And
we all make mistakes.
Clearly. Having a grand old time. But then, around her 40th birthday, she realized that she was going to be replaced by a younger co-anchor, as encouraged by Tom. And James Woods also left her. So there's a very eager intern, Priscilla, at the station, and Diane conspires with Priscilla for Priscilla to seduce James Woods, which works, and to hatch this whole scheme wherein they bring everyone to the mansion, and then Diane can stage James Woods's murder and go through with James Woods's murder while framing Tom.
Mm-hmm.
So
very well summed up.
Yeah. And while you might be thinking, wow, Priscilla was an intern at the network and Tom didn't notice, Priscilla's brunette. That's that.
Okay.
Not because I don't like in the confines of the show, Tom is very much the young blondes.
Yep, right. That is about it.
He's like that type of dude.
Yeah. So, everything was going swimmingly until Stephanie sits in the chair when James Woods is supposed to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Diane stages the blackout so that she can then stab Tom, and then she gets figured out
subsequently.
Oh, yes, James. Can stab James Woods. She gets subsequently discovered by Muriel, who finds the knife among her belongings, so she has to kill Muriel. And then
Priscilla wakes up, and then she has to kill Priscilla.
Right. And then
because Muriel was found her putting the knife away in Tom's suitcase. So she had to go, and then the knife's still there, and then, you know, she quickly got rid of the fingerprints, and then I think she's grabbing the knife from James Wood's body.
When Priscilla
wakes up, she kills Priscilla, then she's trying to plant it on Tom, and then she kills Muriel.
Right.
Is the order of things.
And then she overhears Derek talking about going out with this, to get a signal.
Yes.
And
right.
Of course she has to kill him.
She has to kill him because she needs to frame Tom. So since she's wiped, you know, since the knife is discovered in Muriel's back, she needs a murder weapon to plant in Tom's room. Mm-hmm. So that's when she takes the Golden Globe to kill Derek and then plant it in Tom's room. Yes. So it was her all along.
Though we can cut this as well, but like, wouldn't she have had just enough time to take the knife and put it in Tom's room versus going up to the balcony? That's all that thought is.
Yeah, fair enough.
You don't need to cut that out.
Okay, yeah. I'm just, you know.
It's a good point. I hadn't thought about it that way.
And then on the edge of a cliff, she points, you know, she gets Lois out there to like, I guess, shoot her or like have her say she tripped.
Oh, yeah, we're now back in present.
Yeah, we're back in present time. I don't understand this. Like, how is she, the police are right there. How is she going to explain Lois Griffin's death?
Oh, because she was going to fall.
Oh, okay.
She was going to push her. Yeah, okay. Cool. The gun was just to ensure that she goes out there.
Copy that.
You hear a gun go off, and then Diane falls dead over the cliff. And you're like, oh no, how did this happen? And Lois is just like, well, okay. Sounds
Whoever
great.
Whoever you are, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you see Stewie from a balcony with a sniper rifle.
Sniper?
Having taken out Diane because he says, if anyone's going to kill her, it's going to be me.
Adding into that long-running gag of Stewie hating his mother.
Which is often abandoned. Which, it comes and goes, and it's just like this weird, like, when they decide to also make him, like, a megalomaniacal genius as opposed to just, like, a weird talking baby. Like, the rules...
That only the dog can hear.
Sometimes, right? And then sometimes he communicates with adults.
Yeah, that is... Yeah.
It's so inconsistent, the show. It's been running for 16, 17 years. I don't blame them for, like, losing track of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the episode, though.
It is.
Yeah.
What'd we think? I mean, we had 2 hours of talking about it.
Yeah, I feel like we kind of know. But let's just put a number on it.
Mm.
And this is out of 5 still, right?
Yeah, because it's a TV show.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
I give it a 4. I think it was really solidly crafted. I thought Cherry did a great job with the references from like the drive up was very reminiscent of The Shining. The setup once they're inside the house and splitting up was very Clue, you know. And I say 4. Yes, we talked about, you know, the fat phobia, the racism, the anti-Semitism and all that, but we've also dealt with that, as I've noted before, in Poirot. So I can't really take points off for that when I haven't taken points off for it really in the past.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. The only thing that didn't work about the episode were the jokes that I didn't like. Yeah. And like, you can't, you know, again, we've dealt with that. And I was thinking about it a little bit. And I think the reason saying a racist joke versus just seeing racism in a thing is if you're laughing with someone, you're sort of complicit with them because we're all in agreement.
Yeah.
Which is, unless it's like an uncomfortable laugh, and that's a whole nother thing. But like, I think that's the reason it just feels fundamentally different. But other than that, it's a very, the jokes that hit me, like I spent 5 minutes laughing at a joke while Melissa was explaining it. So like, there were, I watched it twice within like a couple of, with like within like a month of each other, you know, and it was still funny. And that's, it's so weird, this whole show in general, like how things change. That's all. Like, it's also just weird to think about it. Like, and I wonder if some of the jokes, like Mort pretending his back is out, would have been fine if he wasn't Jewish, like as a bit. If
anybody else had done it,
yeah,
it still would have been fun. Like, it would have been funny if anybody but him did it.
Exactly. And that's such a weird thing. I don't know. It's just like you just take two steps to the left, guys. And, yeah, you
like
know,
think it through.
Yeah.
Sorry for jumping in on your time.
You're fine. You shouldn't interrupt me, Tyler. It's not like I'm wandering around going, hey, hey, hey. It's me, Fat Hopper.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a 3.5. It's actually, when I'm looking at like IMDb and such, it is one of the highest rated Family Guy episodes. It's on, it seems to be in lists where they're talking about the best episodes of Family Guy. And I would say it is certainly at the top. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I have issue with, that I take issue with, similar to what Tyler was saying. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of just par for the course when you're coming into this. And though I think it's presented differently than in Poirot in a lot of ways. A lot of it just falls flat. Like, it's just not funny to mm-hmm. me. And I think that really makes me take off points more than if it were, tangential racism. Sorry. But no, like, you know, someone in Poirot having a character in Poirot having a bad opinion. The way it's presented is different. So, yes. So yeah, but the structure is great. There's the jokes that are funny are very funny. And it's a fun little mystery to get in on, to solve with them. And it's a pretty good twist at the end, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I figured something out. The reason it hits different, the racism thing, and also like a lot of it, is because this show is a comedy that happens to have a mystery episode, as opposed to a mystery that happens to, you know, have jokes or something. And sure. So the primary function of the show is to make you laugh. And if it's not funny, it fails at its one job. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's more notable as well.
In some ways, yeah, I agree.
I have one question before.
Sure.
I got one more question for you. In the opening theme, do you think that Stewie Griffin says laughing cry or effing cry?
From what I understand, it has been both in different iterations of the theme.
Ooh.
I don't care.
And with that, I now call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to a close.
Gavel sound.
Na na da 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 da.
Rest in peace, Diane Carroll.